Dr. Octagon, paramedic fetus of the East, with priests from the Church of the
Opera. I've decided to be in semi silhouette today because I don't want to plug in my ring light.
It's very erotic.
Come on out.
Let me get my shit. All right.
Is that a design on your shirt, or is it abstract and I'm like me? Trying to make something?
It's the Warner Brothers Dodo.
Oh, I was looking. I thought it was like a one-eyed bear.
Ben was in a room where a paint bucket exploded, but the dodo was standing in front of him. Is anybody else hearing a high pitch, like, sound?
The speakers and microphone on my. Let me try that.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I know you.
How about
said
that?
It.
You guys hear me?
I can hear you. There's a lot of presence in the room.
Yeah,
that's good. I missed the sorry, beginning part. I know you were talking about. That's okay. That's why we do this. That's why we rehearse. we don't rehearse. What were you saying about your gaming headset? What happened to it? Exploded.
I forgot it like an idiot.
No, not like an idiot, like a human being, because we all make stupid idiot mistakes.
This happens.
That's it exactly.
Our recording always coincides with the weekly screen report from Apple.
Yes.
Oh,
and
yeah.
My computer screen time was down 68%.
Ooh.
And my phone was down 12%. A new Mario Golf game came out, so I've been playing that.
You know, it's funny. I didn't put it together. I thought there was, because during last week's show, I got my screen report on my computer, but I thought it was just my, you know, my notifications popping up. It was like, you average 1 minute a day, and I'm like, that's a fucking lie. I live on my phone.
Right.
So it's you're just lucky that your Nintendo isn't narking on you as well.
Right. It's a me. So here's your screen report.
You need to go outside. I don't know what that voice was. Anyway, but the weird thing about the Nintendo stuff is it totally narks on you. So I don't know if we're recording or doing a show somewhere I need to provide context about who we're talking about or not, but my daughter Hannah and our friend Dylan's son, Thomas, have connected on Nintendo in the past. And if you go and look for Thomas, it tells you how many fucking hours he's played Minecraft and shit like that. Uh-huh. Like, it's, and I certainly have no judgment, but it's one of those things where it's just like, I talk to Dylan and say, he plays a lot of Minecraft.
That's a lot to share. Like, that's a lot to just
automate. It is a lot to share. And I don't know how to, and it's a pandemic. I mean, everything is.
Oh, yeah.
Spending more time doing shit. It's fine. Like, I have no judgment. It's just like, then I think about what it says about, like, how many hours of Roblox or whatever Hannah plays, which is also a lot, to the point where CPS might be called at some point.
totally ro-bitching. I was playing, I still play Animal Crossing. And what I would do is open up my island and set my Switch down so friends wanted to come over any time of day to, like, shop or do whatever they needed to do.
This meeting is being recorded.
Fuck. they could come over. So, now I'm totally unsettled. But it would say, like, you know, that it would say I played Animal Crossing for 14 hours.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
but
right.
It was
right.
Just sitting there.
It was only 12.
Yeah. But it would be like on, I would leave it on like overnight. And so my like Animal Crossing's like, you've played Animal Crossing for 6,000 hours. I'm like, oh, cool.
Yeah, that's a bit of a skewed stat, but I know that my Breath of the Wild stats are legitimate because I did not do that for Breath of the Wild. And holy cow, I spent a lot of time on that game.
No, I can't. I can't even. I've started that game and played for an hour and was like, nope. I can't.
Not for
it's
you.
Too much.
It's too much. It's a lot.
The Skyward Sword is coming out in a couple weeks. And that's one I beat. Like, I played and beat on, like, Wii.
I think so.
And I'm excited because I'm like, oh, I remember that game being short.
So that's a, not infinite.
No, that Breath of the Wild, it's like I picked up a steak and I'm like, oh cool, a steak, and I went and I put it on a campfire, and then it opened up my recipe book and said Ralph made steak, and then there's like hundreds of blocks that were unfilled with recipes for just food.
Right.
And I'm like, I don't need to make all this food.
I'm not interested in becoming a chef.
No, it's not. It's no longer a video game.
It's I don't know, like
life management.
Right.
Well, yeah. I mean, is that what Animal Crossing is? Like, you have all your crafts and shit. Like,
but it's not to this level.
It's equally infinite. It's just it's not as large in terms of physical space.
Yeah, like my island is like the size of like Link's house, which I think you can buy, like purchase cube segments to make it bigger. And I'm just like, no, I can't.
Like a sunroom, I bet.
Like, this, like, can you probably get to the point where you have like a secret family in Hyrule? It's so big. That's how big it is. Just like. Because I watched Stevie play, and she purchased a house, and I'm like, holy shit! Okay, so if you want to go to your house, you have to go all the way across the map, and it's like, no, you can like have another house
in town. Yeah,
it's there's no in town. It's like it's literally like me, like the city of Anaheim. It goes from Beach and Ball to Weir Canyon Road. Like, it's fucking gigantic.
Oh, man, you're not... My copy is still shrink-wrapped, and I think it's going to stay that way.
Yeah. And your horse can die.
Horses die, man.
It's too much, man.
Every single one of your weapons will eventually break, except for, like, the Master Sword.
Yeah.
That's a difficult... That for me, that was a difficult... What do you call it? Like, a game... mechanic. That was a difficult mechanic for me to adapt to at first. It's like, I just want a sword. Like, right. I don't want to have to keep fighting swords.
Right.
That's all I want. Like, just a little...
If there's thunder and lightning, you don't want to have to drop your sword because you'll get struck by lightning.
Yeah.
Too much. It's supposed to be an escape.
Yeah.
When you were talking about characters dying, did you ever play Origami World, Paper Mario?
No, Stevie did.
Hannah and I played that, and it was a ton of fun, but they totally have this character that's with you for, like, a third of the game, and it's like a Mario character with a name, and he sacrifices himself so you can keep playing, and, like, it affected me for, like, the rest of the day, because it's sort of like the, in Portal, the one level where you have the cube
the with companion
cube,
yeah.
And then you're supposed to throw it in the fire at the end, it's like, but it wasn't anything. But you're still kind of affected by it. Like, I was affected for the rest of the day because you had been partnered with this character for days. And he's making jokes and, like, showing you cool paths and stuff. And then he, like, sacrificed himself. And it was just, like, it was too much of a connection.
Does it jump in a paper shredder? seeing it slowly come out. In ribbons.
And screaming is the worst part.
It stands in front of an exploding bucket of paint for you.
What was that?
It stands in front of an exploding bucket of paint for you. And makes a cool t-shirt.
That's not what it does. It's a Bob arm. He's Bobby. They gave him a name. Well, Bobby, I mean, Bob arm.
Bobby.
No, but the thing is, serving his purpose.
How they kind of spin it. But he has dialogue and, like, family and a backstory and shit. And
so does it affect Super Mario Brothers 2 for you?
Oh god, I haven't even thought about
is it
that.
Like those
probably.
Deleted scenes from Austin Powers where the henchman gets killed and they go to this wife's house?
It's very much like that, yes. But yeah, he, like, you can't get past something. There's like a rock slide or something. And it's like, oh no, Luigi's gonna die, and says the princess, if we can't get past her. Bobby is like, I know what I have to do. And then it gets a back and forth, like, no, don't do it. But, like, little dialogue boxes.
Right.
So he moves the rocks.
He doesn't move the rocks. He blows himself up to blow the rocks out of the way.
Oh,
so
man.
So it's like the ending of The Last Jedi. Except Rey doesn't kill herself. I've been increasingly more and more disliking that movie. And I'm sure that's a topic for another day, but I know you love it, Ryan. And I just want to say on our show that I think you're wrong. It's not a very good movie.
Here's the thing. Here's the thing. And we're not going to talk about this because there's, you know, certain things that one should not talk about in public. It's not so much that you dislike The Last Jedi, which is so fine having him. But to like pin all your affection on The Rise of Skywalker is incomprehensible to me.
I don't pin all my, it's Solo, then Rise
you
of Skywalker.
You wrote poetry and.
Yeah. You know why?
Call me one night.
Okay. Cause George Lucas is faster, more intense. And Last Jedi is slow speed chase in space, which makes no sense. If she can hyperspace through a bunch of Star Destroyers, she can hyperspace to a gas station and fucking fill up. Or drop off her people somewhere. It's fucking ludicrous. It's the C storyline of Holdo and Poe being mad because he's not being told what's going on is stupid. It's dumb.
You know what? I understand that that's your opinion.
Sorry.
Yeah, well, that's right. God got you for that.
That's probably the casino heist, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and I will say that I do not like that part of the movie, and that's okay.
Yeah.
There's always a part of a Star Wars movie that you don't like.
True.
From the trash compactor until the entirety of The Rise of Skywalker, there's always a part of...
I get what you mean, for sure. The thing that never sat right with me about the whole casino bit was, like, the struggle, the conflict in this movie is that they're out of gas and they're running away. And so then they go somewhere else
that doesn't
and then
have gas. Unless they're selling gas at the casino.
But then they could have brought more gas back.
Right.
I don't think it works like that, but it's too much of a deviation for me, and it's not enough payoff. And it's just like, and then
Here's the thing.
Okay, please.
How about this? We're running. No, I don't care. We're running low on gas. We're running low on gas. We can hyperspace out here. The problem is that they have a light speed tracker.
Right.
Hey,
right.
I used to work for the First Order and could probably find this light speed tracker on their thing. I just need someone to help me shut it down. Hi, my name is Rose. I'm a code breaker. Okay, cool. Let's do it. But are we going to be able to get out of there in time, you know, once we turn it off? Hi, I'm Poe. I'm a great pilot. I'll be able to find a ship and get you out of there. Boom. It's a fast-paced storyline. And if Holdo absolutely has to hyperspace through that ship, it adds more drama to the characters who are on that ship.
I agree.
Instead, and BB-8 pilots an AT-ST or an AT or an AT-ST. Anyway,
I would not want that part taken out because BB-8 on that AT-ST is fantastic. And when we were watching it in the movie theater the first time, he shows up and shoots everyone or whatever, and my kid says, "Classic."
I will say this a couple.
But there's also
no Ryan.
There's also a take between Finn and Rose were like, don't they look at each other like, can you believe this shit? And they're like, there's no time to disbelieve this shit. Let's just hang on.
I gotta say, though, that the Luke, Rey, Kylo Ren stuff is like my favorite stuff ever in Star Wars.
Yeah.
And Ryan and Ben wasn't really saying anything bad about the movie. Are you still on the Brick forums?
No. I was for a long time, I will admit.
Like how long did you get in on the Ryan Johnson Brick Forum?
You know what? It's so funny because the it's one movie, right? It's not like a franchise, it's not a series. So to get together to people and talk about one movie is a very early internet kind of thing to do, I think. I was
not. It wasn't 1995. It was like, what was it? Like 2000 and
probably 2001,
something like that. Whenever Brick came out, It was for about a year after the film Brick came out.
Oh, okay. So you guys didn't go into like Brothers Bloom and Looper. Like it didn't evolve into a... Okay.
Right. Brick was 05. I don't mean like early internet in terms of like Usenet groups, but I mean like... I don't mean that early, but yeah, I went out there for a while. And Ryan Johnson was like a moderator or maybe he didn't have moderator status, but he was on there. And I would just be like, hey, you know, everyone want to talk about the jacket? You know, let's talk about the significance of Brick's jacket. And
Brick, Officer Brick.
You've gone too far this time, Brick. I stand by it, though. I still think that's a great movie.
It is.
I don't stand by the decision to go on the internet and talk about it a bunch with strangers, but I do stand by it being a good movie.
I mean, you should probably... I mean, I'm wondering if it's still there, if it's still going. Oh, man. And then Brick. Just be like, what are they still talking about, Brick? And they're talking about his shoes. Was there a whole discussion on the lamp inside the van? There had to have been, right?
There had to have been at some point. No, but the jacket, I remember specifically talking about the jacket because the jacket is metaphorically, it's Brick's armor. And when he loses it, it's when he's at his most vulnerable. And when he has it back up, it's when he's shut himself out a little bit. So,
I like Fonzie.
And I want to say, like... music, so my memory is very spotty, but I want to say like even Ryan Johnson was like, yeah, that's what I was going for with the jacket or something like that, you know.
You're right, and, Ben, let's be best friends.
Yeah, exactly.
I never talk bad about my movies ever.
And then what's crazy to have him make this one film that I liked so much, and then I like had this, you know, parasocial interaction with him like one or two times, and then to meet Jorge, who went to high school with him, and they did the talent show together.
Yeah.
I had forgotten that tidbit.
Yeah. It's a bit of a weird connection, you know? It's unusual.
It makes the world really small. Like, it feels... Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You guys want to talk about Sweet Tooth?
Sure. I'll drop some music in there, like last week, which I forgot.
You could do.
I'll do that. Well, it's usually Tiki Wonder. Okay, let me just say, like so far, I've been adding music from the show. I believe, like that has been in the episodes. There's one song in this one I didn't really care for it much.
Okay. I think I know what you're going to say.
So what? I just didn't care for the song.
Oh,
what was I going to say?
Oh, but because I've been watching. I watch with subtitles just because I tend to miss dialogue sometimes, or like the importance of dialogue. Like, it's just people talking. I don't have to pay attention to this, but like, it's the show and I probably should. One of the bands was called Palm Springsteen, one of their songs. Like, and I was like, oh, that's a good name. I like
that. I didn't even catch that. That's funny.
I didn't catch
it. It was whatever, when they're going into the arcade, like whatever.
I'll look at that because I didn't care for the song. I was gonna play Dr. Octagon's Blue Flowers, but
No, yes, 100%. Please play okay, that right now.
The other one was Got It In You by Banners.
Yeah, I've been Shazamming the show, and I'm glad that we've got past the point where if you Shazam a show, it just tells you what show you're watching.
Oh, that's a
did that?
Yeah, they did that for a while.
Well, I watch with subtitles as well because I'm deaf.
And frozen. We lost Ben.
So, like...
It's you and me now.
Yeah.
So let's get all the sweet, sweet tooth stuff going right now.
Well, I can hear you and everything.
Oh, there he is.
Oh, shit.
I've been here the whole time.
The last thing I heard you say was, "Welcome to the Dharma Lars. I'm Ben."
And that's rough.
What? What? Okay, so we missed all of that.
We used to talk about Lost, but now there's no Lost.
Yeah,
we're talking about Lost. I was telling Ryan that I listened with I watched with subtitles as well.
Yeah.
And in this particular episode, it was when the animal army was getting ready to ambush the last men, uh-huh. and Tiger's sharpening her knife, and it goes metal shinking.
Yes.
Like onomatopoeia in the subtitles.
Oh, those are fun.
Which I'm not sure how helpful that is to someone who doesn't have any context for what shinking or what knives in TV might sound like, but
well, I think the same thing too. Like a lot of times where it's just like suspenseful music plays. It's like,
yeah.
Well, can only imagine what that might be like.
It's like watching the X-Men for the first time, waiting to see what Snicked sounds like. Or Banff.
Yeah. It's like the reverse of that. Yeah. So I think it's one thing for them to say it's somber music or suspenseful music, because at least they can be like, look, you guys just have to go with us. That's how it's supposed to make you feel.
Yeah.
But then in this episode, it had Journey music playing. And it's like, you know, the kind of music that happens when Big Man and Gus are walking somewhere.
Wasn't Steve Perry?
Exactly.
I took Peter and the Wolf.
I took notes this week.
All right.
Did you really?
Yeah, because the first thing that pops up when you start the episode is TV-14. And did you guys see why it was rated TV-14?
No.
For language, for one thing. And then for fear.
Okay. Wow.
Your guess is as good as mine.
Fear or someone's on screen's fear? Who knows?
It's rated 14 because there's fear included.
Oh, boy. We've got to keep our 13 and unders away from fear as much as we can.
Right.
So basically we have three storylines.
Yes.
We've got Gus and Big Man, we've got Dr. Singh and Ronnie, and we've got
Amy and
Pigtail.
And once again, the Gus storyline is the least suspenseful. Even though there's like tigers and stuff, like it still, everyone's going to be all right. Up.
Yeah, it just everything just goes along. Yeah. I think the narrator adds to the sweetness tone of the show because he's just sort of like chuckly, like all folksy, you know.
Do we have theories on who the narrator is?
Oh, as if he exists in the world. Interesting.
Yeah. Like, is it a grown-up Gus?
Might as well be, right? I think that makes the most sense.
Yeah.
I guess he's a grown-up whoever survives.
Who do you think it is, Ryan?
Not canonically, but every time I hear it, and this is really primarily for Ben, how James Brolin affects like that kind of folksy thing sounds exactly like the Simple Rick commercial guy. On the central finite curve, we know there's Simple Ricks. like it sounds exactly like him. So whenever he talks, I just start laughing
because you want to get some Simple Ricks cookies.
Yes, I'm going to get some right now.
If he's a character on the show, we're going to find out in the last episode. It's How I Met Your Hybrid.
The animal army actually has bears and rhinos.
Yeah, yes. Exactly. Yeah. Those animal army kids are good at costume making. Those are some cool costumes.
Right. I guess if you have time.
Plenty of time, yeah.
Yeah.
This might be like the fifth or sixth revision of their costume, you know? They just keep working on it. What do? They play video games. They're like the Foot Clan, basically, at their headquarters.
Right.
They're repurposing the theme park walk-around costume characters, like, as a baseline.
Oh, maybe.
He's adding more skulls and stuff.
which, by the way, they have a lot of access to skulls.
Right.
That's kind of strange. They have electricity. They have electricity because they're playing their games.
My assumption is solar power panels. I know, like, I feel like when the shit hit the fan, it was a little bit more in the future
Uh-huh.
than where we are now in 2021. And I know, like, what is it? Ryan would know this. Radiator Springs Racers is completely powered by solar panels that's on top of the building.
Is that true?
Yeah, it was converted. I believe if you look at Google Maps, you can actually see the solar panels on it. Like, it didn't originally start off that way. So I'm assuming there's some sort of solar panels.
Yeah, I don't know anything about anything. I would imagine that it's more like general, like it just goes into the overall like power contribution for the park, rather than like a bank of batteries to power it at night and stuff like that. Because I would imagine that's a huge draw, because it's not gravity based. Like, you're pushed through by electricity and all the lighting and everything like that. I would imagine that's not like a one for one, but again, I have no inside information. Just a guess.
I have a question, a very specific question about the timeline. Now, we know that Gus is 10, 11 years old.
Something like that, yeah.
He said, we started at 10 years old, and then he said after his dad died, he went through all seasons.
So exactly.
Roughly 11 years. And it made it sound like he was born, was it 5 years before the sickness took over the world?
I want to say that Gus was like just the first one of the hybrids.
Okay.
And like, because everyone always says he's the biggest one they ever saw or something like that. He's the oldest. And Rusty was like one of the last regular kids. Right. They're pretty close in age.
So we're saying roughly that the world has been shitty for 5-6 years, right?
No, I want to say the six started at the same time as the hybrid kids,
right?
And it went fast. Okay. So I think the whole thing has been the same amount of time. Like,
so about 10 years.
Yeah.
So my question is this. How hard are those gummy worms?
how do they still have Pop-Tarts? Like, it's a bit much to consider that someone is still scavenging grocery stores.
But I mean, is there a Pop-Tart factory and you just have like crates and crates and some get out, someone monitoring those?
It's so old. I think that we're just meant to like not care about stuff like that, which is a bit of an ask.
Which is, I think it's fine.
But like, yeah, I mean,
I mean, listen, there's a lot of bullshit junk food in this world.
Yes.
And there's like, okay, so recently I've been just like really hating the use of single use plastics. This has been driving me nuts. And so I'm like, I'm not going to get Gatorade anymore unless it's like a fountain Gatorade. And I'm like, but like, honestly, like what if they've already made the Gatorade? Like, one person stopping buying Gatorade isn't going to slow down their production. Like,
no,
there's just trucks and pallets and factories and just shops and just there's fucking Gatorade everywhere.
Yeah.
So how long does it take before someone ends up finding all of the Gatorade?
The last Gatorade.
Yeah.
Like, going through all. And you're right. Just like if we were to just today stop everything, like push one big stop button. It might take 10 years to get to all the Gatorade. But if you ask me to believe that it'll last that long and still be palatable, that's one thing. But you're absolutely right. The gummy worms would not. The gummy worms would be hard as hell.
Right. I wonder if they could soften them somehow.
Maybe like in a microwave or
maybe humidity. I don't know.
Put a damp paper towel over them and like on medium heat for 30 seconds.
Like sprout them. What's like monkey.
Oh.
Yes, maybe something like that.
Also, it is sour worms. So for me, I'm like, of course, those are the last ones to be eaten.
Because you don't like them.
I don't like them. And I'm surprised Gus liked them immediately because he's a sweet tooth and it's sour.
It's sour. He said it tastes like lightning.
right.
And going on with that theory, there's probably like tons and tons of candy corn out there because everyone's waiting until everything else is gone.
That's the sort of rectangular shaped Tootsie Rolls.
This is like, okay, we're not there yet. It's the apocalypse, but we're not animals.
By the way, I'll be very, very comfortable and safe knowing that no one's going to take my stash of circus peanuts.
You can have them.
Yep, exactly. I love them. I'm the guy. You know they're banana flavored?
Like for real, or that's what they say they are?
That's what they are. They're banana flavored.
If you have to tell people they're banana flavored, they're not banana flavored. Like, no, they're not.
They are, though.
They taste like Pepto-Bismol. Pepto-Bismol is not banana flavored.
I have no opinion of peanuts. I have no recollection of their taste. I have recollection of their texture, and I think I liked that.
They're like hard marshmallows. I also like
marshmallows.
I also like hiding eggs. Are you familiar with hiding eggs?
No, like, what is that?
On Easter?
Yeah, so they're pastel eggs, kind of shaped like long eggs, and they're like a hard sort of glaze, and you bite into them, and they're like a sugary marshmallow. They're well, glossy. They're glossy and shiny. It's like one of those Brock's candies. Like, it's like old people candy.
Like they used to have at bulk at the grocery store before they bulk anything else, just bulk Brock's candies.
I think the pandemic probably killed Brock's.
At least the bulk. They have, like, I'll go to Sprouts and they have all their bulk things, and now they still have bulk, but it's just prepackaged. So you don't get to, like, portion it out how you want, but you can still get it.
That was the biggest, that was the best scam, because I would get
it's not bulk anymore.
Because it was like $2.49 for a pound of gummy bears. And they have really good gummy bears. But I would sneak in like a couple of soda bottle gummies and some of those little raspberry and blackberry ones in there, and maybe some, like, a couple of other things, because you can hide them in the big
thing. In the gummy. And then you put down the PLU for gummies. And
yeah. And they're like, nice. Okay. And I'm like,
scam city.
Got them good.
You fucking idiot. You have no idea how bad you just got.
You idiot. There's gummy cherries in this bitch. Later.
See you later. I'll be back in
2 weeks.
To scam you again. Well, that's, I like when you, we're getting off topic.
Never mind. Do it. What do you like?
When you go to the, like, a candy store and it's just all the candy, you can put any, whatever candy you want. Like at that Knott's Berry Farm, they have that on the way out. We used to do that because, like, if you park in the market area, as long as you have a receipt from one of the markets, you can do it for like 3 hours or whatever. You
walk out with a boysenberry gummy bear.
I have walked out with like a Pop-Tart. I know, not a Pop-Tart, a postcard. Oh. Pop-Tart should make postcards, though. That would be great.
Did it literally just look like a Pop-Tart?
Pop-Tart, yeah. And then you send it, and then you put it in the toaster and eat it.
If they don't, they're fucking idiots. That's like a no-brainer. You should be a billionaire. So, did you want the doctor to shoot Nancy with the secret sauce flare gun?
I wanted him to shoot her with anything.
Listen,
he needed like two episodes.
Shoot
ago.
It all over me.
Nancy is the pushy, buttonsky neighbor who's a problem, but she's right.
If
she's advocating the whole house burning shit that we were so disgusted by,
I'm not talking about that. That's a good point. But I'm saying she knows that the sick is in their town,
right?
Because people have been getting sick,
and the blue flowers, which we
forgot to talk about the blue flowers. She knows that they need to maybe start screening to find out who's got the sick. You know, she's this pushy neighbor trope that you're instantly against, because it's like, this person again. But, like, from her perspective, she was trying to save their community, and she probably would have if this thing's horse hadn't just punted her.
Thank you, horse.
Yes.
Do you think that horse can kick field goals? Speak for yourself, moron.
what I thought about the horse, a couple of things, is one, they never check-offed it. There was never a moment where they're like, damn, the horse is extra kicky. I hope no one gets behind her. Like, the horse just kicked her. It was random. It came out of nowhere.
But that happened during narration about family, and we had just seen that there's an awareness between the animals and the hybrids, which makes me think that nature is, like, becoming aware to fight back humans. And as soon as he mentions that, you know, he talks about family, it's a shot of the horse's eyes.
Oh.
As if the horse is aware of what it's doing.
As if the horse
is the narrator.
Oh my God. Seriously? That would be amazing. Speak for yourself, moron.
Well, I've asked Brecken, it's about time you speak for yourself. Here's an interesting connection. You were talking about how, you know, animals are fighting back. It's popped up on my Netflix, a TV series from 2015 called Zoo. And that's the concept, is animals start to fight back. And it features Anonzo Anonzi, the guy who plays Big Man.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
So it's not based on that movie, Zoo? Where the guy falls in love with the horse, and it's based on a true story, and the man and the horse go to bed together?
I'm not aware of that film.
So probably not.
But it's the same plot as the movie Equus, right? So...
Oh, I don't know.
That's a little different.
So my one thing about the horse is that, like, I'm glad they didn't set it up in like too heavy-handed a way. Right. But the other thing is, Dr. Singh is finally convinced by his wife and her struggles to pull out the flare and ask for the secret sauce, which is a live hybrid, right, basically. Right. And they need their pineal. They need a secretion from their pineal gland and some of their bone marrow. And for him, that's a line that he crosses. That's a moral event for him. Asking for the hybrid, he can't come back from that, you know?
Right. We're assuming that they bring back dead hybrids.
I think they're going to bring him a live hybrid so he can tap as much of its pineal gland as he can.
That would be okay. Someone survive without that juice?
No. Let's say no, and let's say it hurts the whole time.
Okay, that's bad.
I think that's what we're heading for.
Okay, so we're halfway through the series. Yes. Is Gus going to be the secret sauce? I feel like that would be the obvious thing, right? But then we have the Amy storyline.
Right.
Are all three going to come together?
Like we talked about the other day, about like opening up the cart and it's got his antlers in it. But
the end credits.
It doesn't have to be Gus. I think what might be more compelling is Gus finds the doctor and sees what he's doing with other hybrids, or what he has done with other hybrids. Yeah. You know,
it'll be like when Boo sees that Sully is scary for the first time.
Right. Yeah, exactly. So I thought, in terms of the horse kicking Nancy, I thought it's an interesting choice. So she's about to blow up their shit, right? And right. We could have it be that they're struggling and she falls and hits her head on the curb, or he accidentally knocks her out, or he's holding a vase and he bashes her on the head. Like, there's a myriad of ways where it could happen, and it's the doctor's fault. Right. So for him to have already crossed the moral event horizon by shooting off the flare, and then to have the horse kicker to absolve him of any like real moral responsibility in her death, it's an interesting choice to me. But maybe it's like you were saying, like the animals are fighting back. Maybe it's meant to show that.
So yeah, we kind of, according to the leader's theory, what's her name? Bear. The theory is kind of what we were talking about, I think last week, was the happening. Like,
right.
Like the virus to take out humans is created by nature, and nature is, you know, taking them out. I mean, once again, I keep saying this, we're halfway through the season, so this is probably the best explanation we're going to get, and is probably the true explanation. So I just find it really interesting that we're kind of sort of thinking in the right direction as far as what's going on with these storylines of the hybrids and the virus.
Yeah.
They're not necessarily like the hybrids didn't create the virus, but nature is sort of reshaping what the earth is and getting rid of humans.
And it's got a two-pronged attack. Like two-pronged, like Gus's antlers. This is the plan. It's one virus, two hybrids. Let's go. We're going to change the earth.
Right. And the flower thing.
The flower thing.
Is it now? There's one flower. We've seen one death in the town. Like, how is this working? Are the flowers what is releasing the virus, or is it vice versa?
The flowers seem, well, Big Man says the flowers show up before the sick. But in the town here, we see that there's a bunch of flowers on Doug Duncan's lawn that they're taking care of after it was burned up. And there's one flower on the Singh's lawn.
Is it nature's way of saying to the hybrids, this is a safe space?
Yeah. This is a safe space for you. I think maybe. It's a little, once we get into all of this, it's a little supernatural. It's not like, I think our explanation is going to have to be a little supernatural instead of just pure evolution or.
Well, the way they explained it in The Happening, which I saw once in the theater years ago, was that there's all kinds of things in nature that allow for nature to evolve and flourish. Like there's all kinds of, defense mechanisms, like bees or plants look like certain things to attract bees. Like they found a way to do that, or everything that's killing everything in the ocean, some other creature has evolved to create a defense system against specific things. So why not if humans are fucking up the earth enough for the entire planet to develop a defense system?
Yeah. I guess I'm not even saying that necessarily. I think at the end of it, there's going to be like, we're going to see a personification of nature being like, I made this. It's just that rationally, I don't see how a virus and the flowers can be connected.
Right.
You know, it's a little bit fantastic. It's, you know, not entirely something within my understanding of how flowers and viruses work.
Right. Unless, I mean, the only thing I can think of is for this particular case, when they burnt, what's his name? Doug?
Doug.
His body turned to ashes and kind of maybe.
Ashes with the flowers? Yeah, maybe.
But I don't, it's kind of, I mean, I see what you're saying. I don't like you're saying something's going to be like magical in explanation, where I just think it's going to be super hard to define it in science. And I'm thinking they might have some sort of dumb science speak that's going
to. Or none. And it's just going to be like, you just have to accept this, that the flowers show up when they're sick. I guess it would be one thing if mushrooms showed up. Like if you got spores in your system and that made you sick, and then when you die, mushrooms popped out. Like, I think that I'd believe for some reason.
Yeah, yeah. But I kind of like it. I feel like they're setting that up. I mean, we saw that huge field that was covered in the flowers,
right?
And
yes, in the episode previously.
Yeah, I'm interested to see, like, we haven't really run into it. Oh, I guess we did this episode. We saw a small town, but we haven't seen like a huge city. It'd be interesting to see a huge city covered in
flowers. Like the sick had come and had been there and wiped it out.
Yeah.
And like you said, it's like a signal. Okay, hybrids, this is a cool place. I cleared it out for you. Come and live here.
Right.
Amy and Pigtail.
Okay. First, before we get into this.
Okay.
Pigtail gets her food and sticks it in the garden, and I'm like, okay, she's feeding something. And I was like, this is going to be so stupid, because in my brain, I'm like, watch, it's going to be like a tiny mouse with like a human, with like a human face. Like, here we go. The next evolution. But then what we saw was Bobby, who immediately reminded me of Haley Joel Osment from Country Bears, the movie. Oh, Ryan! Ryan's on mute. That was a big pop for Ryan too. Okay, let's talk about Bobby.
He's the most animal hybrid we've seen.
Right now, this is. I kind of wanted this last week. I kept saying, "What if the?" Or even in episode one, "What if the deer was the mom for reals?"
Uh-huh.
We're not quite there yet, where hybrids are now just flat out animals. But this dude, I mean, here's the thing. Like, you kind of take on deer qualities. We saw where the owl had the beak and the feathers. This could be just a little tiny short toddler kid.
Right.
And he just has more fur. but he definitely, like, okay. So when I first saw his face, I'm like, okay, that's a puppet, or it blinks like CG. I couldn't tell. Yeah. I'm like, yeah.
I couldn't tell. And you know what? I don't want to Google it because we're behind the times.
Yeah. But I was like, this is weird.
This is weird.
And I was just talking about this on my Star Wars show. We're discussing, like, from Star Wars to Jedi, the making of the saga, and how they talk about including Yoda as a puppet was a real dicey thing to do at the time, because that's not something you did.
Yeah, and it ended up working out.
Yeah, and we're discussing that since then, with the exception of comedies like Ted, like, you don't really see puppets as main characters in, like, movies or anything. They just don't.
It doesn't, in the mainstream.
Yeah. I mean, unless it's like a Muppet thing or, you know.
Sure, of course.
But you never just have, like, a show with humans or a movie with humans and then just one of them's a puppet. And so then I was like, I think I love this thing. I think this thing is great. They're fucking going for it.
It's cool. I like the character design of Bobby.
I don't want to ruin this for you, but when he popped up, the first thing that I thought of was Beesbo.
Oh, okay.
So, for those of you familiar with Rob, do you want to set up who Beesbo is for those who aren't initiated?
There's a VHS tape called The Adventures of Beesbo, and Beesbo comes from another planet, and he helps teach, or he doesn't know the planet, so he doesn't understand manners. So it's up to the kids to teach Beesbo manners in different situations.
Oh.
And Beesbo, are you talking about the alien form or the kid form? Because they're both pretty stupid looking.
The kid form. But just like, I don't know, like, I don't even know if he was wearing overalls or whatever, but that's how I pictured him being. I just pictured him being a stand-in for Beesbo.
Yeah. I can see that. And
not being able to talk well and
so,
potentially being obnoxious.
Right before we started recording, I was on my computer and I was like, okay, let me look for artwork for this episode. Now that I've seen the episode, I can go look for the artwork without being spoiled. And the picture I saw, he was wearing a Cub Scout uniform. So I don't know if that's from an upcoming episode, but in this one, I don't remember seeing him in a Cub Scout uniform.
No, he was like Ryan said, he was wearing overalls.
But so I was like, that's when I was like, oh, I like this character because he's a Cub Scout.
Literally.
But, oh, I guess so. Yeah, what is he? Is he a bear?
I think he's a beaver.
A beaver?
Maybe.
Nice beaver.
Thanks.
I just had it stuffed. I don't know what else to say. I don't know much about the character.
No, but what we can tell from right away is that he's less articulate than Gus. but what we've learned is everyone has this expectation of how hybrids are going to not be able to talk. And I think that ultimately comes from most of them not being socialized or being sold. Whereas, Pigtail and Gus show us that, you know, nature versus nurture. If you just raise a hybrid kid right, they can talk just as a human, at least these two.
Right.
So Bobby, from his little bit of dialogue, he says me, Bobby, enough to let you know that he's one of these poorly socialized ones. But I'm going to send you guys a picture to the chat, because early on in the episode, let me see if I can find this.
And though, for those of you listening, you can go to this post on at Darmalars on Instagram and see it. Okay. I'll add it to that.
I'll put it in the chat. Give me a second. So basically, earlier on in the episode, when Pigtail is painting, you can see in her painting Bobby.
Oh, that's cool. I did not notice.
Yeah, I was looking at it.
Are your issues because it's a cute puppet?
No, it's more of a, there's nothing concrete about this. This is just like word associations, like the first thing. But it's just like, me, Bobby. It's like, oh, I'm not going to be in for this.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Or like Elmo for the same reason. And it just kind of like, I don't know why Beespo like popped into my mind. Like, I don't know anything. You're going to have to teach me everything. No, don't eat with your hands. Eat with a fork. Don't be sorry. Like,
yeah,
I'm sure it'll be much better because the show is not let us down so far. But like,
right.
I was afeard.
I do like that we've now see a more. That picture's awesome. Bobby looks like a little brown devil.
He looks like, yeah, he looks like the fucking Mothman or something.
Right. Or like in a Batman movie where they sketch what they saw on the rooftops. It's like a demon?
The bat.
Instead of just saying, it looked like Batman. I like Bobby. I'm hoping they don't go the Beespo route and have to teach him everything. I am interested in seeing where he came from. I mean, he definitely is wearing clothes.
Yes.
So he had someone at least take care of him.
Someone took care of him at least a little bit.
How did he get into the zoo
when it seems locked down?
Right.
Pigtail must have done it, you know. Like, but how? Like, she must have done it while Amy was not paying attention?
I guess.
Yeah.
Unless he slept through bars?
Like, I'm sure he could compress his body to the size of a quarter and squeeze it. Like, he's an animal. I'm sure he could figure out a way to, like, dig and ferret his way, no pun intended, but, like, into the zoo because there's food and shit in there.
I think you're getting into a dangerous area there because now you're like, oh, well, what? Does Pigtail just root around in her own shit and she.
No, because she's been socialized.
I see. I'll say this about Pigtail, right? Her hair is not in pigtails. This is what I'm going to say about Pigtail. Her hair is not in pigtails. Okay. So it leads me to infer that she probably has a tail.
Probably.
Circle gets a square.
Sweat glands. Well.
Otherwise, they'd call her pig nose.
I also feel like she's got it pretty easy. She just, you know, goes get some rhinoplasty done, gets those, you know, ears pinned back. Like, she's fine. She could totally pass.
Yeah. Or wear a big scarf.
And she's basically that Christina Ricci character that we were talking about.
Both came together.
Penelope. When you were talking about her feeding a mouse with a human face, which is terrifying. I'd much rather have Bobby. Right. But she takes the leftovers and she's like, oh, I'm going to feed Bobby now. And she scrapes the leftovers into the dirt in the garden. Like, here you go. I got you fucking dirt food. You fucking beaver. It's disgusting.
Bobby's catchphrase is like, oh, damn.
He's a beaver. So now we've seen three hybrids, you know, that are not infants. And as far as Gus and Pigtail, they seem like normal human kids with extra features.
Yeah, and I was what I mentioned last week where it seemed like maybe the teenagers are the ones who are more accepting of the hybrids.
Yeah.
That's definitely the case in the animal army.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, that's their whole thing. So Bear starts this whole army, and they're like really well trained. They've got all their signals and code words and shit.
Right.
Starts this whole army, and their goal is to help hybrids. And they're trying to kill Big Man because they see him as as Gus's poacher.
Yeah.
Like, poaching is a big problem. And they know that he's a former last man. Mm-hmm. And then at the end of the thing, because she stands up for Gus, and Gus is, again, with this whole idea of nature finding a new way, like the old way is let's kill each other and fight. And Gus is just like, no, don't kill him. And obviously that ruins her whole thing. The whole animal army starts infighting and she walks away. Mm-hmm. Kind of sucks to start an army and then have to leave it.
Right.
But I say like I think Gus gave his loyalty to Big Man. Like,
pretty quickly. Easily. Yeah.
Yeah. But he's done nothing to earn it. It's not Big Man's fault. He's always pushing him away.
Right. But from Gus's point of view, where he's kind of alone, he was alone for a year at least.
Right.
And Big Man saved him from the two poachers with the candy bar on the string. And right. then he did mention that he wakes me up from my nightmares. Like that, it's those things. It means so much to Gus. And right. I feel like maybe we could have used a ninth episode, maybe between episode 1 and 3, where we get to see that relationship grow a little bit more.
Because it's mostly implied.
Yeah. Right.
Gus says big man differently than I would. He calls him big man. You know, and I say big man.
Right.
It's hard. What's that?
It totally reminds me of in Blues Brothers. Mr. Man! Mr. Man! When the woman comes out to...
Right.
When they show up like investigators every single time.
And then I guess we have to note that Gus talked to the tiger, Daisy the tiger.
Right.
And then she calmed down like the second he talked to her.
Right.
So...
And that's why I feel like nature is all on the same page here.
Right. The hybrids are, the idea that I think Bear is espousing, that the hybrids are going to live in harmony with the land rather right. than exploiting.
Right. And what does Gus say to the tiger? Does he say, don't kill him, he's my friend?
Yeah, something like that, yeah.
So the tiger...
Don't hurt him.
Yeah, so the tiger must know that it's not a bad human. There's definitely a distinction. And I'm wondering if the sickness is picking out specific people. Like, I wonder if once Doctor crosses that line, if he'll get the sickness like the previous Doctor.
Oh, interesting.
Is nature picking out people?
Interesting.
So it's like a Thanos snap, but more geared towards good people and bad people.
Well, I know that Bear says that her whole family was killed by the last men, slaughtered.
Yeah.
But I still, that doesn't necessarily erase whoever was saying last week that maybe Bear had like a little baby sibling that was a hybrid. Like that could still be a thing. And it could have been why the last men came after them.
Yeah.
That was her motivation for starting the animal army and, you know, going all in on hybrids. Because
the things that sucks about this episode is that it seems like Big Man and Gus are back just wandering the woods again.
Yep.
Which we didn't get any closure on the sort of computer dude taking the picture to find the mom. Yeah.
He never came back with like a packet or anything, right?
No.
Well, no, but I have a feeling that because we don't know what's going to happen to Bear, I think Bear's going to join them and she knows.
Yeah, okay. Maybe. But yeah, he was going to go Google Birdie, Gus's mom, and then find out. There's a thing in, I know we talked about Walking Dead last week, and I know you didn't watch it a lot, Ralph, but at one point in the series, our group, the Rick's group, had developed like a series of questions they ask new people to determine if they want to allow them into the group. And it's like, how many people have you killed? How many walkers have you killed? You know, basically, what did you do to get here? Because if anyone survived this long, you have to just immediately understand that they've had to do some shit.
Right.
And do I accept that the shit you had to do was justified by you surviving?
Right.
That's basically what comes down to what Jeopard was talking to Bear about. Like, you know, it was the beginning. People were dropping dead all over the place. It was kill or be killed. And she said, no, you just want to do what you wanted to do it because you're good at it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's that same sort of idea of like, how did you get here? And do I think it's okay? Am I going to judge you for it?
Man.
Everyone has to survive 10 years after the collapse of civilization. You probably did some nasty shit.
Yeah. Did something squirrely.
Yeah. At least. I mean, every time you go to the store and steal a Pop-Tart, that's theft.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think I've said everything I got to say about this episode.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. I really did.
Yeah.
I'm now more interested in the Amy storyline. I like to see where that goes. I definitely want to see what's up with Bobby.
Yes, for sure. And we got Amy was the one that we got the least of, like the least time with her. They did start the preserve. We now have confirmation. because the flyer is definitely based on that drawing that Amy shows, that Pigtail shows Amy at the end.
So they do have access to a plane.
Apparently. Well, she has access to a ham radio, which means you have access to anything.
Right.
Ham.
She probably could have dropped it off to a guy in a plane.
Right. How do they make copies? They have access to a Kinko's, perhaps.
They have a printer?
It looked like the Sings don't have running water, because when the Dr. Singh wakes up in the morning, he goes and gets himself a glass of water from like a big old jug, like a tanker of water on the counter there. So maybe they have like running gray water, but the drinkable water has to come in a different way.
Yeah, maybe the water got someone sick, or they assumed it got someone sick, so they probably
right.
Maybe they filter it somehow and then stick it in the jug.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, something like that. Next episode is called "What's in the Freezer."
Ooh,
any guesses?
Yes, I have a guess.
Yes, a hybrid
secret sauce.
Secret sauce, yeah. A hybrid, yeah, something like that, or potentially, they could have one of those. They could have like an Eskimo pie. Those are
that'd
pretty
be
good.
Better.
Yeah. I think they changed those names of those.
They probably should have. Yeah.
The person who created, I believe they changed it to his name, Pies.
Oh, I can so many terrible bad jokes right now.
I was thinking like Eskimo cake.
So it's not that. They changed the name, but they left the offensive part.
Right. Yeah, I'm just wondering who says that, who asks the question, what's in the freezer? I feel like Dr. Singh's wife kind of knows he's going in that direction.
Yeah, it can't be her, because she basically asked for it. She knows what he's into.
What if she has one?
And he like, what's in her freezer?
Yeah.
Maybe.
She eats hybrids.
She's just like, wakes up in the morning, tapping a hybrid. Getting it straight from the pineal gland.
Gross. Yeah, I feel like it obviously has to do with that.
So there we go.
Yeah. Cool. Go to Instagram.com/Darmalars and you'll see that picture of the painting, which I totally missed and Ben pointed out. the little goblin creature and Darmalars.net. yeah, I've been enjoying Sweet Tooth. And I gotta say, like, watching it one a week has been pretty nice.
Yeah, I'm still on board with that. I am, you know, I got close to Googling it today to find out how they did Bobby, and I remembered just in time to maybe not do that.
Right.
But yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing like how it plays out without just doing it all in one blast. Nothing wrong with that. I enjoy that, especially when you're on a show where you're like, more.
Right.
But there's something to be said for drawing it out.
Yeah. And it's only 8 episodes.
Yeah. It's not that hard. Yeah.
So, yeah, I think that's it.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, thank you for discussing the Sweet Tooth.
Ryan's trying to get us to stop, but I ain't stopping until I hear that stupid lady.
Just say goodbye.
No, I'm not going to. There's a new protocol.
All right, so that's it. All right, here we go.
The recording has stopped.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Darmalars. I'm Ralph.
Longest pre-credit intro ever.
Now I'm going to record something.